Chapter 20 Jack 4 Jack's son Valano, truthless of Shinovar, occasionally found some things challenging about living among the eastern heathens. Their warriors were incompetent, true, but the Kanaran people had advantages that were not related to their skill. Jack was undeniably Shin. His skin was lighter and smoother than that of a Kanaran, his features more rounded, his nose far less prominent. Many Kanarans claimed that the Shin looked like children to their eyes, an irony since the Easterners themselves were considered children by the truth. Regardless, Jack could not easily hide among them. Even with skin darkened by makeup, his features would mark him as an outsider, a Rimac mixed breed, if not a full Shin. Moving among the Kanarans, unnoticed, required skill and care. Fortunately, such was included in his training. His clan might not have been one of the most overtly powerful, but no Shin would dare question their effectiveness. Karathach, the Lord Puppeteer, did not hold court, for technically he was not king. Gaining private audiences with him was surprisingly difficult. He considered himself careful, but in truth he was simply pompous. He did not wish to be bothered by those he considered his inferiors. Fortunately, he was growing desperate. Jack stood quietly at the back of the small stone room, trying to ignore the sense of the stone pressing in on him. The puppeteer's audience chamber was lavish with the goods of his plunder. Sea silk, woven rugs, and woods of all variety crowded the room's occupants. Of men, there were about 10, including the puppeteer himself. The puppeteer's eye sockets seemed to droop in his head, his entire face gaunt and worried as he paced.
"Nadin," he snapped, "what of your contacts to the south? Surely Lord Renar realizes the danger of one house rising against another?"
One of the puppeteer's rich-clothed attendants shrugged helplessly.
"He cannot fight, Talshech. Not with the might of his armies gathered like they are. House Devar is too powerful."
"Bah!"
the puppeteer said, waving his hand.
"I need answers, not excuses. How many of them are there?"
"The scouts count over 20,000, Your Excellency," one of the men offered, "though his numbers swell daily."
"Perhaps we can bribe him," a third man suggested. "Make peace, a treaty?"
"He thinks I assassinated his family, you idiot!" the puppeteer snapped.
The men in the room glanced at each other nervously. It was commonly held in the city that the puppeteer had indeed been behind the slaughter of the Devar family, though the thoroughness of that belief could only have been created by Avon's rumor spreaders. During his weeks in Avon's company, Jack had come to realize that Jack himself was not the only efficient man who quietly served the idiot king. There was a very soft, very exclusive underground in Vaden City, an underground that understood that the puppeteer's power was fleeting, a group that served Avon, as Jack did.
"I didn't kill them,"
the puppeteer insisted to his supporters, who looked unconvinced. Apparently, the puppeteer had often expressed his dissatisfaction with House Devar. Jack shook his head. Among a land of heathens, there were many who were nonetheless competent. The Lord Puppeteer was not one of them. The men in this room should have been his most avid supporters. If he had such little ability to persuade them, then... It didn't really matter. Vaden City was doomed. 20,000 men camped just outside its walls. The puppeteer had barely 8,000 at his disposal. That was enough to give the invader pause before attacking the city, but it wouldn't stop him for long. Talshech's numbers were growing every day. In addition, it appeared that the Lord Puppeteer would receive no aid. Whether by his own incompetence or by Avon's secret maneuverings, he had been left without allies. Once news of the Devar invasion had arrived, assumedly firm allegiances had suddenly withdrawn. Troops had failed to rally to the capital, and support had evaporated. While House Vadenel supposedly controlled a third of the country of Yakoved, news of Talshech's invasion had isolated the house to a single city. Landlocked, with mountains at its back, there would be no escaping the trap. The puppeteer had sat, firm in his belief that support would arrive until it had been too late. This man was doomed. That was not a question. The true puzzle was, why had Aben instigated it? The second thing the invading Talshech would do, right after killing the puppeteer, would be to execute Aben. Vadens were not like the Aleths to the north. There would be no subtlety in this seizure. Talshech was marching on the capital. He would see himself named king. Aben would die with the man he had trapped.
"You,"
the puppeteer said, pointing at Jack.
"Shin, what of those men you promised me?"
"They come,"
Jack lied, speaking a broken dialect of Vaden.
"My entire clan."
The puppeteer closed his eyes, exhaling in relief. Even those who had never seen a Shin fight knew that their abilities could not be matched by anything in Kanar.
"When will they arrive?" the puppeteer asked.
"Soon," Jack said.
"You promised 5,000, the puppeteer said eagerly. 5,000 Shin swords.
"Yes," Jack said. "My people, fine craftsmen."
The puppeteer froze.
"Fine craftsmen?"
"Yes," Jack said. "They make swords. Bring swords to His Excellency. His Excellency's soldiers well weaponed."
The puppeteer's eyes bulged.
"Craftsmen!" he yelled. "You bring me 5,000 craftsmen?"
"No," Jack said, cocking his head. 5,000 swords. His Excellency asked for swords. We bring and sell swords."
"Sell?"
The puppeteer looked dazed. Then his rage returned.
"Out!"
he screamed, pointing. Jack adopted a look of confusion and scurried from the room in compliance. Aben was not in his rooms. Jack did not have to search long to find him, however. The guards directed him to the Vaden city walls where the idiot king stood looking out over the Devar army. The troops were scattered across the bare stones, the colors of their tents marking the presence of 10 sets of lesser houses. Devar had gained allies quickly. In this heathen land, loyalty often meant only as much as the strength of one's armies. The invaders had brought with them a 10 set of the large towers the Kanarans used in battle. But they would probably not be needed. City walls were almost a formality in this land. Instead of providing fortifications, they often simply hampered one's shard-bearers. With a well-executed strike against the city gate, Talshech's own shard-bearers would quickly slice their way through the wood. Even without blades, the heathen's profane use of the sacred arts could change the gate or even the walls into water or air to allow passage. In Kanar, sieges did not last very long.
"You have returned early,"
Aben noted as Jack approached. The king was alone. His guards stood a short distance away, well out of earshot. Jack had determined that some of them knew of their king's charade, but others obviously did not. For a man whose manipulations were so varied, Aben did an amazing job of keeping his secrets.
"I was forced to reveal that I was bringing no troops," Jack said, "and the puppeteer threw me out."
Aben frowned.
"You played your hand early."
Jack shrugged.
"There is no further reason to watch the man. He is a fool, and his fate is inevitable."
Aben smiled.
"You acted impetuously," he said. "Perhaps my steward is doomed. Perhaps he is not. After all, you think that I am doomed as well."
Jack froze. How had he? Aven's smile deepened.
"Tell me of the meeting," he said,
watching Jack's face carefully.
"The puppeteer was looking for options," he said. "He kept asking members of the group if they could help, even though they had already said they could not. One of the members often pointed out how many troops Talshech had.
Fourth Lord Dinver Shenshal, Avin said quietly. He favors the fifth refrain of the returns, and the Song of Souls, among others. Simple melodies with trite rhymes.
Lord Zalachan was there, Jack continued. He was accustomed to Avin's strange interruptions. He didn't speak much. He looked more troubled than the others, but not as nervous.
The Onyxious Child, Avin whispered, and the Ballad of the Sixth Return. Straightforward songs that tell stories and always explain their morals.
Lord Nedan was unwilling to be firm about his contacts in Rinar, Jack explained. He said that they were frightened to move against Talshech.
The Whisper of Spring, the words of Nael Ilin, and Kanar's Last Dream, Avin said. Careful songs that sound sweet to the ear, hiding their complexity. Nedan lies. Lord Rinar will not sit and hide. He gathers his own forces. He will not come to our aid. Every day Talshech sits in siege of this city is another day Lord Rinar has to prepare.
Jack frowned. Weeks spent with Avin had not given Jack the insight he wished. He had made many assumptions about the idiot king, but they had slowly betrayed themselves. He had thought that the man was a simple thug. Now Jack was no longer certain. In truth, he was beginning to wonder at Avin's sanity. When Jack had returned from the meeting with the puppeteer, he had found Avin's room empty. There had been two more yellow songbirds on the floor, their necks crushed.
"Tell me, Jack Sansan Valano," Avin asked with a soft voice, "what songs do you prefer? If there were a minstrel here now, what would you have her sing?"
For some reason, Jack felt a chill. "I don't feel like listening to music at the moment," he said.
"Assume you did," Avin said. "What songs have you requested in the past? What songs do you hear that give you pause?"
His bondage would not let him lie. "You will not know them. My favorite is called the Kalana Natan."
"Ah," Avin said. "A ballad that tells a story indeed. A song of loyalty and of a warrior who dies for his clan."
Jack shivered. "Yes," he replied. Avin nodded, then turned back toward the army. They had arrayed themselves carefully against the slight shelter of the sloping land. Vaden City was unusual in that it wasn't on a lake. It was exposed to the full fury of the storms when they came. The day was hot, the air dry in Jack's throat. He had been in Kanar long enough to know that the storms would be very infrequent this time of year. When they did come, their fury would be such that it would be dangerous to be outdoors.
"There," Avin said, nodding toward the city gates. "It has happened."
Jack peered down, looking out over the camp. No force was approaching, however, and he looked back with confusion. Then he saw it. The disturbance was not on the outside, but on the inside. A man on horseback ordered the gate opened. He carried a white flag and a spear.
"The puppeteer would have given no order for parley," Jack said. "He didn't give the order."
Looking closer, Jack saw something he hadn't noticed before. There was an object sticking from the end of the messenger's spear, a head.
"Come," Avin ordered. "We must work quickly."
Sitting on his throne in the glory of the Vaden Palace, Avin looked like a king. Even as an impotent king, Avin had more wealth than any Shin clan leader. Here in this heathen land, lords claimed to serve their people, but their expenditures and wastefulness proved otherwise. Ovin was resplendent with jewelry and gemstones, most notably diamonds, the symbol of Vadenar. Jewels had been sewn into his cloak and clothing, and his fingers glittered with rings. Watching him, it would have been impossible to know the way in which the rest of the nation regarded their king. Until he opened his mouth.
"We welcome you to Vaden City."
The king's voice betrayed its characteristic muddled drawl, the result of a childhood spent with waning hearing, then an adulthood spent completely deaf. On top of it, Ovin added a slight hesitance, a stumbling of words. Not too overt. Even an idiot could be trained in what to say, but it was enough. Even to one who knew the king's secret, this man sounded like a half-wit. Third Lord Talshech was a burly man. He wore little jewelry. The massive shard blade in his hand was ornamentation enough. It was a thick, curved weapon and matched his heavy-set legs and build. He seemed less like a man and more like a chul in shard plate.
"You have freed us," Ovin said.
He spoke the words that were passing like a wave through the city, words encouraged by the group of lords Jack had left behind with the puppeteer, the men who had killed their supposed leader and delivered his head to the invader. They hailed Talshech not as a conqueror, but as a liberator, a man who had come to cleanse the corruption from the capital. It was claimed that the entire city had been beneath the thumb of the Lord Puppeteer, and that he had practically kept the other nobility in bondage. Talshech stood for a moment, his eyes unreadable. His trusted shard-bearers stood behind him, arrayed as they had been as they marched through the broad doors.
"You have pleased the crown," Ovin said.
Talshech stood for a moment longer, then turned and strode from the throne room, leaving Ovin alive. Jack closed his eyes, pulling back into the pillared shadows of the throne room's far corner. If Talshech had killed the idiot king, then Jack would have had an opportunity to plead for his bondstone. Another chance, perhaps, to be set free. That was not going to happen. Jack still had a master. He opened his eyes, leaving the shadows and following Ovin into the dressing chamber at the side of the throne room. Ovin sat patiently, waiting as attendants removed his royal jewelry. It was several minutes until they were alone and could speak freely, and Jack spent the entire time wondering.
"You think I should be dead,"
Ovin said with amusement as the final attendant left.
"You should be,"
Jack said. Ovin shook his head.
"You don't understand Lord Talshech Davar," he said. "He didn't just want revenge. He wants much more. Do you realize that no one man has ever conquered all of Kanar?"
"Yes," Jack said.
"They tell stories of those who have tried. Nev Windvoice, Sadiz the Sunmaker, even Jarna, who is only 20 years dead. Talshech likes those stories. He likes them very much."
"If he wants to conquer the Eastern Peninsulas," Jack said, "he'll first need to be king of his own nation. He should have taken your head and your title."
Ovin shook his head.
"Lord Renar is rising to arms in the south," he said.
"Talshech has more troops," Jack responded, "and more shard blades. He will defeat Renar."
"Ah, but which would he rather be?" Ovin said. "The conquering tyrant or the dutiful subject putting down a rebellion? Vedenal gave itself to him, and his king welcomed him. He knows he can take the throne any time he wishes. If he leaves me, he can march south with the legitimacy of royal support. He will gain the allegiance of the more traditional lords, those who would have resisted him as a conqueror, but will welcome him as the liberator of Veda City. He can put down Renar, then have me quietly executed.
He becomes king not by the sword, but by consent of a loyal and loving people.
Jack paused in thought.
If you want to conquer the world, Oven said, you need more than armies. You need loyalty. You need both love and fear. You need to be seen as more than a man. You need to be a force, like the winds themselves. Men do not resist divinity. If every land you leave behind rises against your rule, then you will need to spend all your time squashing rebellions rather than conquering new land.
He will still come for you, Jack challenged, even if what you say is true. Tarshech will need to be king. You will have to die.
Oven smiled.
I have another list for you, he said. These men need to be dead before Tarshech returns. You won't have much time. He will gain momentum as he marches south, especially when word of what happened here arrives. Vedans do not like to fight their kinsmen. Renar will be forced to surrender or to fight in a single battle. The longer he draws it out, the more of his supporters will join with Tarshech. A war could be over within a month's time, especially if you do your job quickly.
Jack nodded and memorized the names as Oven spoke them.